Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, October 26th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic? Well, let's dive down the rabbit hole a little bit today. Things that we think we know that, you know, we're absolutely certain, but maybe not so much. So you think you're immune to mind control programming. I would say, you know, the programming that is so rampant and pervasive, and it has gone beyond, obviously, it always intended to go beyond the limits of marketing and even government propaganda. It's gone far beyond that. So let me just start perhaps with the concept of the Netflix effect. For those of us who think that we are immune to the pervasive programming, I'll come back to this, but, you know, extra credit in all of this discussion. Mirror neurons make us believe that we are doing it ourselves. You may, you know, once you start to really sniff this stuff out, you're not as susceptible, I would say, but there are still things that sneak through. So mirror neurons is one of the ways that they get you, so to speak. I've talked in the past about suspension of disbelief. Is something worth investigating if you're not familiar how that basically makes the little guard in the front of your brain check out. This isn't real. Animals don't talk. You know, automobiles don't change into things in, you know, also an anthropomorphic sort of fashion. And these are all aspects of mind control. Also, and I think in a very a very spiritual sense, a very demonic sort of sense. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence these days that some people identify as, you know, animals or video game characters or things like that. In simple terms, I would say it's evidence of demonic possession, but that's a separate subject. So mirror neurons, suspension of disbelief, Michael Kaczynski and the Cambridge Analytica stuff, the data that turned the world upside down was the article that really sort of went into that. The 300 or so likes, you know, you can do that, and then Kaczynski and friends know you better than you know yourself. Just with a bunch of likes on Facebook. Google's selfish ledger. Yuval Noah Harari saying, surprise humans, you're all hackable animals and probably gay and don't know it yet, but Coca-Cola already knows. Remember that? We played that clip. That's fun. So let's back up. That's extra credit stuff. Think you're immune to this stuff. Let's start with the Netflix effect. A few Octobers ago, this was during COVID, of course, October 23rd, 2020, Queen's Gambit debuted on Netflix. And to date, around 62 million households have watched the show. Inquiries for chess sets went up about 250% on eBay. Google search queries for how to play chess hit an all-time high in 9 years. And the original novel, The Queen's Gambit, is now a New York Times bestseller, 37 years after its release. The number of new players on chess.com has increased fivefold. But, you know, we're all immune to that kind of thing. So this reminds me of an email that I received recently. And the psychological conditioning that goes much deeper than this. The Netflix effect is a fairly surface level observation. That's pretty obvious. But there are things, you know, the subliminal things that get put in media and entertainment, music, repetition, beats per minute, chord progression. Those things are all historically, you know, back into antiquity, actually, in some cases, very influential. And there's a reason why music scores are used in film and television, and it's not always just, you know, to build tension and so on. So, but there are the more subtle aspects, the less obvious, I guess, you know, the things that get normalized, like what we've seen, the social dynamic in families, what we've seen over the last, let's say, 30 or 40 years, and really longer than that, I'd say the last 70 years, you know, even in the even in the Donna Reed days, you know, even in the Ward and June Cleaver days, you could see how we were moving toward mom really runs things, dad's not really in charge. That moved to dad's an idiot and the kids are really in charge. They're the ones who, they're the rudder of the house, and why wouldn't they be? You know, they have their thumb on the pulse of what's you know, new and happening. And that has been a cultural shift since the Cultural Revolution of the 60s, the counterculture revolution in particular. And we've seen that, you know, don't be a square, that kind of stuff. And it has progressed from there to now. We got rid of the Cosby Show, for example, and we got rid of things that were normal, healthy, well-adjusted, and we're pushing toward normalizing aberrant behavior and confusion. And just marinating in that, people who watch this kind of stuff and see these cultural and social dynamics that are abnormal, but that are construed as normal, that has an effect, influences people's attitudes and behaviors. And ironically, to prove someone like Bernays right, the herd think, you know, groupthink effect is in full effect when people watch these things and they think, well, other people are watching them, so, you know, this is what everyone expects. It's a strange thing. You watch these shows and then you are sort of conditioned to believe everyone shows up in a group. They've been apart. They didn't watch these shows together. They get together and they think, well, this is what's expected of me and of all of us. Or this is how people expect others to behave, or what's normal and acceptable, and those kinds of things. Very interesting how that works. Subtle influences. So I received this email couple of days ago, and the email reads, I didn't ask permission, I hope it's okay, I won't mention who sent it, I usually like to make sure that people don't mind if I share stuff, but if I share it anonymously, hopefully that's okay. So it reads, Chris, you keep asking why people are just going along. I'm not sure that I ask that per se. Maybe I ask it rhetorically. I don't know. Maybe I do ask that. I don't think I do like that, though, as though I don't know. And hopefully this today will be evidence that I have a pretty good idea. I believe the cause, the email reads, is what people are not eating. More to my point, nutrient deficient food causing big pharma dependence, and doctors have no or little training in nutrition. This podcast tells what the nutrient deficient cause and what supplements are, will help, and is from a Jew. The three daily supplements everyone should be taking for longevity, Mark Hyman, hour and 18 minutes, 38 seconds long YouTube video. Also to support this, if you did not see this on RBN already, and a link to the RBN article, watch out, the food industry's lies and how they are slowly poisoning us. Food definitely plays a part. I would say it's, you know, it's a spiritual battle first and foremost, always. But Bertrand Russell, The Impact of Science on Society, he was the guy who said diet injections and injunctions will combine from an early age to form the sort of characters and beliefs the authorities deem desirable, and any serious criticism of the authorities will become psychologically impossible. So diet was first in the list. Injections was second. Injunctions was third. And that's still on the wiki quote page. Diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities deem that consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. So one leads to the other. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so. Diet definitely plays a role. But he also wrote in The Impact of Science on Society about mass psychology. He wrote, I think the subject which will be of most importance politically is mass psychology. And so he said the subject will make great strides when it is taken up by scientists under a scientific dictatorship. Anaxagoras maintained that snow is black, but no one believed him. The social psychologists of the future, get this, social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children, what? On whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. Things are changing in America. Dramatically so. We are forgetting important things that seemed like we would never forget them just a generation or two ago. Various results, Russell wrote, will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is obstructive. That's bizarre and aberrant. The influence of home is obstructive. That was happening when he wrote this book, The Impact of Science on Society, back in the early 50s when it was published. But like I said, the counterculture revolution really kicked that into high gear, obviously, and it's continued ever since. Who wants to listen to parents? And it's interesting that young people hit a point somewhere in adolescence, around the teen years, where they're just angry. Almost every young person goes through this now. Isn't that curious? Wasn't always that way. Wasn't always the case. Wasn't always so. Just angry. Brooding. Why? What is happening? There is inner conflict and turmoil and self-loathing from the cultural Marxist bent that's being programmed into young people, and the kind of cognitive dissonance or schizophrenia that you read about in James chapter 1, the double-mindedness. It's been programmed into young people. Conflicting messages. Second, Russell wrote, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. What have we done when it comes to so-called schooling? Well, you know, if we don't start when they're basically in the womb, then, you know, we're doing junior a disservice. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. And fourth, that the opinion that snow is white must be held to show a morbid taste for eccentricity. The truth. If you hold to the truth, you have a morbid taste for eccentricity. Russell went on and he wrote, but I anticipate it is for future scientists to take these maxims, to make these maxims precise and discover exactly how much it costs per head to make children believe that snow is black and how much less it would cost to make them believe it is dark gray. Although this science will be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class. So I'm crazy for even suggesting the possibility this is happening, of course. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated, that they came from Tavistock, for example. Everyone's familiar with James Perloff debunking the myth of the Beatles, right? That group of schoolgirls were essentially hired and trained to faint on cue to make it seem like, oh my gosh, the Beatles are amazing. And that was part of creating this social phenomenon. Why was that the case? Did it have anything to do, speaking of the cultural Marxist bent, did it have anything to do with Adorno's point? I read this excerpt often, but, you know, from Jeffrey Steinberg's article in LaRouche Pack's Executive Intelligence Review back on May 5, 2000, from cybernetics to Littleton, do we realize cybernetics is the, you know, the helmsman or the steersman, the little rudder that steers the ship? It's not visible, though, from above the surface. Diabolical. And it's a term that dates to antiquity. From Cybernetics to Littleton, Techniques of Mind Control by Jeffrey Steinberg, and where he writes about you know, Adorno and the history of this concept of music, where Steinberg writes, Eros was precisely the weapon that the Frankfurt School and their fellow travelers employed over the next 50 years to create a cultural paradigm shift away from the so-called authoritarian matrix of man in the living image of God, imago viva Dei. The sanctity of the nuclear family and the superiority of the republican form of nation state over all other forms of political organization. They transformed American culture towards an erotic, perverse matrix as that continued to today. Associated with the present politically correct tyranny of tolerance for dehumanizing drug abuse, sexual perversion, and the glorification of violence. For the Marxist Freudian revolutionaries of the Frankfurt School, the ultimate antidote to the hated Western Judeo-Christian civilization was to tear that civilization down from the inside by turning out generations of necrophiliacs. Talked about this. I've talked about that terminology in song lyrics in particular over the last 30 or 40 years. And so Steinberg continues, if this statement seems harsh, you know, the cultural Marxist bent, their antidote, you know, the salvation of the West is in turning out generations of necrophiliacs. If that statement seems harsh, then he says, consider the following. his 1948 work on philosophy on the philosophy of modern music, Frankfurt School leader Theodor Adorno argued that the purpose of modern music, and this is, the book was published in 1948. It's gotten progressively worse since then. Adorno argued that the purpose of modern music is to literally drive the listener insane. He just, and have you noticed, by the way, you know, twerking was a big deal that got normalized, but little children, little babies, when you play, you know, modern music for them, don't they start doing stuff like that? They can't stop. They start moving and they can't stop moving. So Adorno argued that the purpose of modern music is to literally drive the listener insane. He justified this by asserting that modern society was a hotbed of evil authoritarianism and potential fascism, and that only by first destroying civilization through the spread of all forms of cultural pessimism and perversity could liberation occur. This is what young people are being subjected to in so-called school. On the role of modern music, Adorno wrote, quote, "It is not that schizophrenia is directly expressed therein." And, you know, again, speaking of what I said earlier, schizophrenia, cognitive dissonance, double-mindedness, carrying around competing thoughts constantly. No wonder young people are so angry and brooding. And, you know, the modern music in view here. It is not that schizophrenia is directly expressed therein. I would say per se, but, you know, these days I think it is. But the music imprints upon itself an attitude similar to that of the mentally ill. Think about that. Young people are listening to this music that imprints upon itself an attitude similar to that of the mentally ill. And we wonder why the FBI's COINTELPRO, you know, Gladio, BC, suffers no shortage of recruits. The individual brings about his own disintegration, Adorno wrote. He imagines the fulfillment of the promise through magic. And so there are the alchemical chaos magicians at work. But nonetheless, within the realm of immediate actuality, its concern is to dominate schizophrenic traits through the aesthetic consciousness. In so doing, it would hope to vindicate insanity as true health. And Steinberg adds, necrophilia, Adorno added, is the ultimate expression of true health, quote unquote, in this sick society. And as a final point I always make in conjunction with this, this was 23 years ago this was published. Necrophilia, Adorno added, is the ultimate expression of true health in this sick society. Talked about how homosexuality in previous editions of the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, homosexuality used to be considered a mental disorder. Now it's a lifestyle. Things are moving in a specific direction in terms of what is considered a cultural norm. And I've talked about the section, if you go to the Wikipedia entry for narcissistic personality disorder, the section under diagnosis DSM-5, it says narcissistic personality disorder usually develops either in youth or early childhood, et cetera, et cetera. Generally, the symptoms of NPD also impair the person's psychological abilities to function socially, either at work or school or within important society setting. This is all getting massaged, but it still includes this sentence right here. The DSM-5 indicates that in order to qualify as symptomatic of NPD, the person's manifested personality traits must substantially differ from societal from social norms. Who decides what constitutes social norms? Do the communitarians? who are vying for legitimacy. You know, I've mentioned for example, there's Kissinger's Peace, Legitimacy, and Equilibrium, but more recently there is Etzioni's On Communitarian and Global Sources of Legitimacy. Who decides? What constitutes social norms? When aberrant behavior, maybe when Adorno's concept of necrophilia being the ultimate expression of true health becomes normalized, then what? Sounds far-fetched, doesn't it? But you know what? Some people don't know which bathroom to use these days in America. They've been persuaded to believe, and others are being persuaded that, you know, if we don't support that kind of thing, then we must be racist, misogynistic, homophobic, you know, evil people. This is antithetical to the biblical ethic. This is antithetical to God's expressed and revealed word. So that's interesting. But we are not, we're immune to the programming, right? So when I look at this email about what people are eating, you know, what would happen if suddenly a series of movies broke out that normalized gardening? Everyone starts gardening for themselves, like this friend I shared a couple of days ago. Just, you know, kind of what they're doing and how bountiful their garden has been just in a few short years. And now, I mean, I think it's second nature for them. They're making it look easy. And I think they would say anybody can do it. You don't need a whole lot of space. You can do some amazing things. What if we did that? What if we grew our own stuff, each of us? We were less inclined to go to the grocery store. We didn't have to worry about, you know, brands being bought up, good brands being bought up by these multinational conglomerates. Just got stuff from your backyard. What would happen if that was normalized? Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Secrets hidden in plain sight. Would you know it?
Welcome back. All right. I've talked recently about, I feel like, you know, I don't want to desensitize these things, but Jesus in Matthew 24 in the NASB, it's, you know, cannot be overstated. The disciples Matthew 23 is the seven woes generally. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, et cetera, et cetera. You know, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Robbery and self-indulgence. Interesting. Et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the end of Matthew 23, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This is interesting because, again, you know, I've talked about Isaiah 66, for example. People say, well, you know, God says that he'll resurrect. Can he create a nation in a day, basically? Jerusalem is what's in view there. And if you go to Revelation 21, the confirmation that, who is the bride? I've said this a lot recently. People, if you ask, go to any Christian, congregation, so-called, who is the bride of Christ? They will say, without exception, the church. Now, where do you suppose that came from, since we're all immune to the programming? Did they read their Bible and find that? No, because Revelation 21, 9 and 10 clearly says the bride is the New Jerusalem. And he talks about how he has chosen a people for himself. And in the Old Testament, that obviously is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so on. But wait, not so fast. Then you skip forward to the New Testament, and oh my goodness, Paul in particular, in places like Romans 9, 10, 11, explains this mystery, unpacks it a little bit for us, that God is sovereign. He is the one who chooses, and he can graft in the wild branch, if he chooses, to the vine. But don't get ahead of yourself. If he can do that, he can graft in the natural branch too. So he concludes in Matthew 23 saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you, your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then chapter 24, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen? What he just explained. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And he prefaces, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. So there's that. There's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Fred in Iowa would, I'm sure, appreciate the mention. Strong delusion. And the context is Paul is saying, don't let people get you stirred up, shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us even, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you. Again, let no one in any way deceive you. There's that again. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction or perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God and object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That's interesting. There's that temple of God. The abomination of desolation is in view there, I believe. And Paul says, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now? What restrains him now? So that in his time he will be revealed. The restrainer restrains the Holy Spirit. But, if we quench the Holy Spirit, if we don't invite the Holy Spirit into things, then what? Does God say, well, let me give them over to their desire in Romans 1 sort of fashion? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Why would he be taken out of the way? Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. That's power. And bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. Again, that's power. He shows up and boom. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Wow. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. When God sends upon you a deluding influence, good luck. In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. That's sobering. And this idea of let no one in any way deceive you, that's, again, it's an active statement. Don't just sit idly by, let no one in any way deceive you, or, you know, Jesus saying, see to it that you be not deceived. And there is an ongoing effort to try and deceive people. There is a video on YouTube titled Fritz, Undetectable Mind Control, Fritz Springmeier. And I would like to play a little excerpt from that. Can we do that real quick, please? Possible. Maybe we'll come back to that. Maybe we'll start with Bernays' propaganda. So, Edward Bernays wrote a book. He was Sigmund Freud's nephew. Wired Sigmund Freud's work and all of the depth researchers, the guys like A.A. Brill, who, you know, over 100 years ago had really somewhat mastered the art of looking inside of each one of us and deducing the secret motivations that compel us to do certain things in ways that we don't even recognize or understand per se ourselves. And this gets into all kinds of things, you know, the duality of man that's been intentionally fomented since time immemorial, the esoteric concept of keeping man intentionally double-minded so that you can sort of move him in a certain direction as you desire, and he has no firm opinions of his own. For example, you know, people who call themselves Christians and go to church and so forth, celebrate Christmas and Easter and, you know, other holidays that are, and probably Halloween, or, you know what, maybe we'll do a trunk or treat or something like that. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Why would you do those things? Well, you know, it's the cultural norm. I see. Have you prayed about it? And, you know, Christian, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it as a family? And no, that doesn't happen. We just go along with things because, you know, we don't want to be those people. An intro to Bernays' propaganda. The American business community was also very impressed with the propaganda effort. They had a problem at that time. The country was becoming formally more democratic. A lot more people were able to vote and that sort of thing. By the way, speaking of voting, are you familiar with the book Vote Scam. I don't think we've talked about Vote Scam. You know, speaking of, we have black box voting and all these things, but Vote Scam was first published back in 1992 by James and Kenneth Collier, brothers. It's an interesting story. Speaking of computerized voting scams and my favorite entry, you know, there's the national election pool, obviously, but Clint Curtis, his entire Wikipedia page that used to describe his, you know, involvement in writing computer software to rig an election, being hired essentially to do that, that whole Wikipedia entry was deleted. Wonder why that whole Wikipedia entry was deleted. The Clint Curtis page deleted. Wonder why. Anyway, a lot more people were able to vote and that sort of thing. The country was becoming wealthier and more people could participate, and a lot of new immigrants were coming in and so on. And, you know, the middle class was growing. And those people are traditionally, like Mike Huckabee said, the firewall. They, you know, if you want to create havoc in the world, you need to get rid of the middle class. So what do you do? It's going to be harder to run things as a private club. Therefore, obviously, you have to control what people think. The manufacturing of consent, for example. There had been public relations specialists, but there was never a public relations industry. There was a guy hired to make Rockefeller's image look prettier and that sort of thing. That was Ivy Lee, obviously. But this huge public relations industry, which is a U.S. invention and a monstrous industry, came out of the First World War. The leading figures were people in the Creel Commission. In fact, the main one, Edward Bernays, comes right out of the Creel Commission. He has a book that came out right afterwards called Propaganda. The term propaganda, incidentally, did not have a negative connotation in those days. It was during the Second World War that the term became taboo because it was connected with Germany. And by the way, Goebbels apparently was very fond of Bernays, incidentally, and all those bad things. But in this period, the term propaganda just meant information or something like that. So he wrote a book called Propaganda around 1925. And it starts off by saying he is applying the lessons of the First World War, the propaganda system of the First World War. And this commission that he was part of showed, he says, it is possible to, quote, regiment the public mind every bit as much as an army regiments their bodies, end quote. These new techniques of regimentation of minds, he said, had to be used by the intelligent minorities in order to make sure that the slobs stay on the right course. We can do it now because we have these new techniques. This is the main manual of the public relations industry. Bernays is kind of a guru. He was an authentic Roosevelt Kennedy liberal. He also engineered the public relations effort behind the U.S.-backed coup, which overthrew the democratic government of Guatemala. His major coup, the one that really propelled him into fame in the late 1920s, was getting women to smoke. Women didn't smoke in those days, and he ran a huge campaign for Chesterfield. You know, all the techniques, models, and movie stars with cigarettes coming out of their mouths and that kind of thing. He got enormous praise for that, so he became a leading figure in the industry, and his book was the real manual. That's Noam Chomsky from Chomsky's What Makes Mainstream Media Mainstream, a talk at Z Media Institute back in June of 1997. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Now, this has been a great conference. There's been a lot of great speakers. But if I was to sum up this conference, I would sum it up as saying mind control and disinformation. What do I mean by disinformation? Today, people don't understand what disinformation is. One needs to go and study, which I have done, how these intelligence agencies that disseminate disinformation, how they operate and what kind of disinformation they put out. A very good example of this is MI5 and MI6, British intelligence. Maybe a lot of you are aware that British intelligence created American intelligence, and British intelligence is extremely powerful. Before World War II got started, the British had infiltrated the Nazi spy apparatus so that every German agent that was recruited into the Nazi apparatus that was spying on Britain had to become a double agent. 100% of the German agent spying on Great Britain was a double agent for the British. And anyone who joined those spy cells had to become a double agent, or they got dropped, so they kept the continuity. Through those double agents, they disseminated disinformation to the Germans. If you will study the type of disinformation that they fed through those German agents, you'll get a good idea of the type of disinformation that's being disseminated to you all through double agents. Some of them have been up here as speakers. You may think that disinformation is simply passing a lot of lies. No. Disinformation has to look like the absolute truth, but you slip in a little poison with it. So some of the these double agents that the Nazis had received very big decorations by Hitler. In fact, one of these British agents, double agents, received the highest award that Hitler could give him, while at the same time he received the highest award that the British could give him. Kind of interesting, huh? An example of how disinformation works. You give 99% true information, and it's that one little piece of disinformation that's the clincher. So through their spies, they fed the Germans the range of their naval radar, but they understated it. Well, the Germans were excited to get any information on the British radar, their naval radar. When the Bismarck sailed, and you're familiar with the battleship Bismarck, because their intelligence agencies had been fed this shortened range of the naval British capabilities of their naval radar, that one little piece of disinformation, they made a big mistake, and that mistake cost them the Bismarck. So see, this is how critical it is to understand how a speaker can get up here in front of you, he can give you 95% good information, and it's that 5% poison that he's going to give you that'll be the clincher. It's very hard to understand, for most of us to understand how disinformation comes about.
Fritz Springmeier. Undetectable mind control. You know, how many people have jumped on the Reawaken America bandwagon, the satanic Reawaken America bandwagon, the QAnon nonsense, the QAnon nonsense. How many people, you know, Oliver Anthony suddenly explodes out of nowhere to, you know, immediate stardom, and so many people, oh my goodness, this is so great.
Einstein once said.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Stick around.
What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.